a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigonoth. And that's a musical term, whatever that is. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed, but he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth. And in anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together. Father, you are not a block of wood or a lump of gold, an idol that does not speak or does not hear or see, but you are a living and active God who speaks. And so, Father, help us to listen to this part of your word today. May it spur in us today a deeper love of our Saviour Jesus and a clearer vision of his return, that we might look forward to it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start this morning with verse 19, chapter 3 and verse 19. Have a look with that verse to me one more time. The sovereign Lord. Now think about that word, okay? See, sometimes it helps to just pause and think on words. The sovereign Lord. Now that word means he has all power. He has total control. There is not a leader that is not kind of answerable to the great God, Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. He is the sovereign Lord. And Habakkuk says the sovereign Lord, verse 19, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Verse 19 is a portrait of a man, Habakkuk, who has such strong faith in his God that it makes him strong to cope with anything that life throws at him. It is a portrait of a man who has such faith and trust in the character of his God that even though life rages around him and there is violence and there is injustice and the ground that he's walking on feels like rough ground, he draws strength and he stands strong because he trusts God. You see that picture? I don't know if you've ever seen a mountain deer. I don't know why you would have ever seen a mountain deer. But a mountain deer, if you ever watch these nature programs, they can walk on the most phenomenal ground. They're kind of leaping along the side of cliff faces. You know, literally, they are like it's a flat pavement. They're just bouncing along. Their feet are enabled to walk on ground where you and I would just fall flat on our faces. You see the picture, he says? Lord, by trusting you, you have made my feet strong to walk on rough ground. You can keep me going. I can live today because I've got faith in you. You see the picture that we're being painted? Habakkuk, by his faith, is made strong to walk in the life that God had called him to live. And my friends, that simply my question for you this morning is, don't you want to be able to say verse 19? Don't you personally want to be able to say, my faith in God is such that he gives me strength to walk even when life is messy. I don't know what rough ground, what mountain heights he's called you to walk on at the moment. But collectively, what do? We walk in a world that is full of violence and injustice and pain. And it's not just our world, but it's our community around us. We are personally finding things difficult at different times. There are circumstances that we're to walk through. And we say, we don't get what God is doing. I'm confused. I feel like my feet are going to turn and I don't trust. But wouldn't you love to be able to say, I trust God so much that he becomes a source of strength to face what he calls you to face tomorrow? The sovereign Lord is my strength. He enables my feet to tread the heights, whatever those bits of rough ground are for you in your life at the moment. Habakkuk is a man who has journeyed from chapter 1 verse 1. Just flick back there if you wouldn't mind. Chapter 1 verse 1, verse 2, sorry. How long, Lord, must I call out for help? He's in this troubled state. And yet by the end of the book he can say, the sovereign Lord, the God who's totally in control, I trust him and that gives me strength to do every day. And my question then this morning is, how do you and I journey to verse 19? How do we leave church this morning and become people who can say from our hearts, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He gives me the ability to do today, to get through today, to live in a world that is a mess. The sovereign Lord is my strength. How do we get there? Well, that is where chapter 3 helps us. Because chapter 3 is a prayer of Habakkuk that is preserved for the people of God, people trying to live by faith in Jesus, that we might be able to get to where Habakkuk gets and say verse 19 together. There are some hints in this chapter that it's actually a prayer that's meant to be said together. So just have a look with me, verse 1. This is a bit technical stuff, but don't switch off. It's kind of just proving a point to you. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigonoth. Now, I don't know what Shigonoth is, whether it's an instrument or a musical term, but it gives the sense that what's coming was meant to be used together by the people of God. And then if you go to the very end of the book, verse 19, the tail bit there, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. This is an anthem, a tune, preserved for the people of God, so that as we walk through a messy, violent distressed world and our lives are full of brokenness, broken relationships, broken families, we have a prayer that helps us to get our strength from God when life is tough. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at it under three ways. Here we go. For strength giving faith. That's what we want. Strength giving faith. We together must look up in dependence. If we are to be people whose faith gives us strength in everyday life, we must be people who look up in dependence. My children have recently been captured, I don't know why, by a TV advert for Carphone Warehouse. And they've been practicing this accent that the guy does, and they're going to tell me off later for this. But it goes something like, "You don't ask, you don't get." Is that right if I said that right, kids? Yeah, they're all nodding at me. Can you give me your best impression? None of them are brave enough to do it now. Yeah, there you go. Nice one, Sam. Give it to us one more time. That's right, okay. So I have not seen this advert, but this phrase has been going around our family for ages because they've seen this advert and they just keep going, "Oh, do you like my accent, Dad? You don't ask, you don't get." But actually, this principle, "You don't ask, you don't get," is something that Habakkuk models to us on his journey of faith. What does Habakkuk do repeatedly through this book? He asks God. He turns to God in prayer and dependence. In all his trouble and in all his distress, in all the violence going on amongst his own people, what does he do? It doesn't drive him from God, it drives him to God. And he prays. Just look at verse 2 of chapter 3. "Lord," he talks to God, "Lord, my God, my saving God." Chapter 3 is a prayer. And Habakkuk repeatedly responds to God when things are hard. He responds to his words. Now here's the thing. Habakkuk, if you've journeyed with us in this book, you'll know that Habakkuk's already been told two big things by God. He's been told God is definitely doing something in our world today. It's easy to stand back and think he isn't, but God says, "No, Habakkuk, I'm doing things in your day in unbelievable ways." He's been told that. And he's also been told that God will one day get rid of all the evil, all the wrong, that one day he will kind of wipe it away and it will be finally done. These are two big things. Now, Habakkuk could say, "Oh, well, that's all right then," and walk away from the situation. But actually, despite knowing these two big things, it does not stop him praying independence. And here is a model of faith. We could be here this morning totally assured that God is at work in our world. He is. We can be totally sure that Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. Should that stop you praying? No. People of faith are constantly looking up in dependence on God. So look again at chapter 3, verse 2. "I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord." Now look at his request. "Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." Even though he knows God is at work, even though he knows God will do something, he still expresses his faith by looking up to the God who he knows who can help. The God who does big and powerful things. And he says, "I need your help. Please do something. Please show this world that you are the true God." That's what he's saying. "Lord, in your wrath," yes, this world deserves your wrath. We've turned our back on you. "In your wrath, please, Lord, remember mercy. Remember to help those who cannot help themselves." Dependence. He prays in dependence on God. And friends, if we are to reach the point of being able to say this morning, "The sovereign Lord is my strength," then together we need to be people who are looking up to the one who is the source of our strength. Together we need to pray. We need to lift our eyes to heaven and be daily saying, "Lord, please help us." Because only when our eyes are fixed there will we be able to draw our strength from the one who is strong. The Lord Jesus, in his humanity, was a man who prayed. You think, oh no, surely Jesus didn't need to pray. He was the Son of God. No, in his humanity, he prayed, and he prayed more than any of us pray, because he knows that that is the life of faith. Faith means looking up in dependence on God. And we need to keep expressing that dependence. Even if we're confident that God is doing stuff in our world, even if we know for sure he's coming back, to journey to the point of strong faith, strength-giving faith, we must look up in dependence. Can you look with me at chapter 2, verse 20? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Where is he seated? He's seated in heaven. He's seated on the throne. And where are people of faith to put their eyes? To the Lord. Independence. And so are you, personally. Are we, as Silver Street Community Church, looking up in dependence on God? Are you praying? You know, if you are struggling for a faith, a trust in God that gets you through each day, then it may be that you've stopped looking up in dependence on God. Prayer. The people of God together must look up in dependence. That is the way that we journey to being able to say, the sovereign Lord is my strength. Number two, strength-giving faith comes as together we look back for assurance. So the people of God, we look up in dependence, but the people of God look back for assurance. Part of my work before I was a pastor was interviewing people for jobs. And very often what you end up with is a big stack of CVs on your desk, and you have to read through them, and you have to kind of have a look what people have done in the past to give you some kind of level of confidence that if you employ them, they will do the right thing. You have a CV. Now, here's the thing. Habakkuk, as he is in a messy world, a violent world, he's got loads of questions. What does he do? He pulls out God's CV. He starts to look at God's past activity to remind himself what God is like. Habakkuk is finding himself in tough times. But have a look at verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. What does he do? He recalls this huge catalogue of things that the sovereign Lord has done through history. And then we haven't got time, I don't think, to unpack this today. But verses 3 through to 15 there is this poetry. It's poetry where Habakkuk is recalling God's actions in the past. And if we were to have time to look through it, we'd get hints there of how God rescued his Old Testament people out of slavery in Egypt. There's hints and sort of poetry that resembles the Red Sea kind of being split open, a miracle of God when the people of God walk through. You get hints of the plagues, the pestilence that he sends against Pharaoh. All these big, powerful acts of God. There's a story about the sun and the moon standing still, an amazing Old Testament story where the Lord makes the sun and moon stand still as Joshua enters the promised land and is defeating the Amorites. There's this powerful story. You see, he just brings this catalogue. He's flicking through the CV and he says, look what God's done. But what particularly is he remembering? Have a look with me at verse 13. This is probably the key verse in his remembering. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. What is he really remembering? God is a delivering God. God saves his people who trust him. He saves his people of faith. That's what all these stories are. This big CV is that God truly is a saving and delivering God. And at its heart, Habakkuk is recalling these things to remind himself that yes, life is tough now. And yes, being a person of faith is not the easiest road you can walk now. But God has a track record of delivering his people of faith. Our God is a saving God. Amen? And friends, as we learn to walk with Habakkuk, learning to live by faith, we must learn to look back for our assurance that God can be trusted, that he does save his people of faith. And as followers of our Lord Jesus, because that is what a believer, a Christian is, as followers of our Lord Jesus, we look back to the greatest act of deliverance that God ever achieved. And that was what Jesus did at the cross. Let me just talk you through some of the language of these verses. Verse 13. You came out to deliver your people. What did the Lord Jesus do? He left the riches of heaven. He came out of heaven. What to do? To deliver his people. He left the riches and the splendor of heaven and became poor so that he could save his people of faith, from their sins. What did he do? Verse 13, he crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. Who was that? The Lord Jesus at the cross defeated Satan. In 1 John, we're told that Jesus appeared to destroy the work of the devil. That's what he was doing at the cross. What is described here is God's track record, and it's exactly what he did at the cross and the resurrection. And look at verse 14. If you want a hint that the cross was coming, here it is. With his own spear, you pierced his head. Now, I don't know if you've thought about this, but Satan wielded a spear to try and destroy Jesus. And do you know what that spear was? It was the cross. He thought, I will so incite people to hate Jesus that they will treat him with evil and with violence. And Satan had a great big spear in his hand. And when they nailed those nails into Jesus' arms and hands, Satan was standing almost with a spear saying, yes, I've won. But it was that very spear, the cross, that Jesus used to pierce Satan's own head. Do you see the picture? The cross is the spear of Satan. But it's the spear that Jesus used to pierce Satan's head and defeat him and crush him so that he would lose his grip and his power on people like us and we could be saved. Friends, our God is a saving God. And we must look back for assurance. In a few moments, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together, this simple meal of bread and a little bit of grape juice. But what does it cause us to do? To look back. Do this, Jesus says, in remembrance of me. Because as we do this, we draw faith. We say, God can be trusted. The cross assures you that God can be trusted. And as you trust him, he will give you strength to do today. Look back for assurance. As a believer in Jesus, every day should be a cross and resurrection remembering day, because it assures you that God can be trusted. It assures you he delivers his people of faith. So God's people, they look up, they look back. But actually, it won't surprise you to learn that together we must look forward in joyful confidence. London 2012, the Olympics, was a really happy time for us as a family. We had great fun, indulging in all the kind of activities and things like that. But actually, looking back sometimes makes you really look forward to things, doesn't it? So actually, now that Rio 2016 is starting to become a thing, as a family, we're starting to get excited. Why? Because our memories of what is past, looking back, gets us excited about what's ahead. Now here's the thing, it's the same when it comes to this prayer of Habakkuk. Having looked back at what God has done, it helps him to trust God for what he will do. It helps him to take him at his word. So in chapter 2, Habakkuk has been made a promise. Habakkuk has been told that God will come and crush Babylon. Now Babylon was the nation at the time that was going to invade them. It was kind of the instrument of God for punishing the wickedness among Habakkuk's own people. And God had said to Habakkuk, but Habakkuk, there's a day coming when Babylon will be defeated, when Babylon will be crushed. Now look at verse 16. I heard, this is Habakkuk speaking, I heard, and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. I'm pretty convinced that this is Habakkuk's reaction to what God told him about Babylon. When God said, I'm going to use Babylon to punish wickedness in our world, I think Habakkuk trembled. I think he thought that's a terrifying thought, and it is. That God would use an evil and a wicked people, and this is coming in Habakkuk's direction, he trembled. Maybe this is something you feel about, these words describe you, your heart pounding and trembling when something difficult comes into your life. But look at what Habakkuk says, verse 16. Yet. So this is true, my heart's trembling, my heart's pounding, yet. Yet. I will wait patiently for the day of calamity. See, looking back, God, you're a delivering God. You saved your people. You rescued them out of Egypt. You rescued them and brought them into the promised land. You're a saving God. Looking back gives him confidence to trust him for what he will do, to take God at his word. Yet I will wait patiently. And friends, it's the same for us as believers in the Lord Jesus. As we look back to the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, it is meant to make us look forward in joyful confidence. God, you did do this. You did give your own son. How much more can we be assured that one day you will bring him back and he will reign on this earth and you will deliver your people? We will wait patiently because we are so sure that you will do what you said you will do. Was life easy for Habakkuk? It wasn't, was it? He had the impending invasion of Babylon. And if you know anything of your history, you'll know that was an absolutely terrifying experience. Look at verse 17. The fig tree's got nothing on it. The vine's got no grapes on it. There's no olives. So no olive and feta cheese salad or whatever you're into. There was no sheep, so there's no lamb for dinner. There's no wool to dress yourself in. There's no cattle in the stalls. Was life easy for Habakkuk? No, he was living in a messy world. He was living in a broken place. But because he'd looked back for assurance, he was able to look forward in joyful confidence. And together, friends, by looking back to what Jesus did at the cross, like Habakkuk, we can say, life may be messy. Life may be full of violence and crime and injustice. And my world may be full of brokenness, broken relationships, broken family life, broken jobs, broken bodies. My life may be full of those things. Yet... That's a word we've got to learn to say as a Christian. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of Jesus' return. Yet, I will rejoice, not in the rubbish circumstances that are around me, but I will rejoice in the Lord who I know delivers. And I know he's coming back. I will rejoice because I'm certain that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And Jesus will come again. Friends, we need to learn to look up. We need to learn to look back. And we need to learn to look forward. And that, as far as I can tell from the book of Habakkuk, is how you and I will journey to the point of being able to say verse 19. Will you look at there one more time with me? The sovereign Lord is my strength. It's only as we learn to look up and depend on him, and it's only as you learn to look back and say he is a saving God, because you look at the cross and the resurrection every day, and it's only then as you look forward to what he will do that you will be able to say, God, I trust you, and that will make you strong to live this day. And I have to finish with a word to those of us that would say we're here, but we're not yet trusting. We're not people of faith. And that's very simply, I want to remind you of chapter 2, verse 4, which is the key verse in the whole of this book. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness, by his faith-filledness. The righteous person will live. They will endure through this day of calamity. How? By faith, by trusting in the Lord Jesus. When that promised day of calamity comes, what will happen to you? If you are someone who is trusting Jesus, looking up to him, looking back at his rescue, looking forward to his return, then you will live. But if it's not you, then you will face that day of calamity. And I simply put before you today, will you start today, like Habakkuk, learning to live by faith in the Lord Jesus? Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray, and then we'll sing together. Heavenly Father, we come to the end of our time as a church family in this book, and by no means have we exhausted its treasures. But we thank you that you have helped us as a church family to see what it means to live by faith when we live on rough ground, when we live in a world that is full of sin and violence and messiness, and our own hearts are filled with sin and messiness. And Father, we want to be those who every day look up to you in dependence, to see you as the one seated on your throne in your holy temple, and to say, Lord, we need you. Father, teach us to pray. Prompt us by your Spirit to not let a day go past where we have not come before your throne of grace. Father, we are prone to self-reliance. We are prone to dependence on our own skills and ability. But Father, please teach us to be dependent prayers, like Habakkuk, constantly looking up. When we're confused, when we're worried about our lives, teach us to run to you and not from you. And Father, please help us to look back. To look back at your track record. To look back at your greatest of deliverances for us at the cross of our Lord Jesus. And please help us to look forward with joyful confidence that Jesus is coming again. Father, we want to be able to walk out of here genuinely and say, the sovereign Lord, you, sovereign Lord, are our strength to live every day. We want to be able to say that, and we know that we'll only get there as we fix our eyes on you and we put our faith, our total trust in you. So help us to do that. That's a Spirit thing. We cannot do that without your Spirit. So equip us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen.